Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
With the golden voice, Ted Williams, Scott Spears coming at you live here on a Wednesday morning, Wednesday, October the 18th, 2023, 15 minutes past the hour, 41 degrees and cloudy skies in the Marion area. And we have got something, I believe, very special coming up here momentarily. You know, we need to have fun from time to time. And there's so much heavy news going on in the world that I said, you know what we need? I said, self, we need a fun time. We just need to have a fun time. So hopefully we're going to do that momentarily here. You know, live radio, it's a crapshoot some mornings whether or not the guest is going to show up. But we're working on it. And you might understand why this would be a difficult guest to get on the program for a number of reasons once I tell you who it is. But trust me, it's going to be fun. I promise it's going to be fun because it always has been fun when this person has stopped by. So stick with us here. We're going to try to make this happen. We're going to try our best. You know, timing is everything. It's one of those things. By the way, though, we do have some announcements to make. We can get these out of the way at the top of the program. Kids Night Out coming up at the Marion Kroger on Marion Mount Gilead Road, October 30th from 4 to 6 p.m. Come join them for some free activities and treats. They will have stations set up around the store for kids to enjoy. Treats are subject to change depending on the number of kids they have. That's Kids Night Out at the Kroger, Marion Mount Gilead Road here in Marion, October 30th from 4 to 6 p.m. And I talked to the people at Kroger the other day. They're going to have cookie decorating and the game with the ducks floating around in the pond where you can pick the correct duck and win a prize. There'll be candy. There'll be all types of things going on that particular day, October the 30th. Also, Dinner with the Presidents, a big event coming up here in Marion, Saturday, November the 4th, 4:30 to 7:30 p.m., all occasions catering and banquet facilities, 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road. Let's see here. The pricing for this event, $40 for VIP seating, $35 for general seating. The speaking presidents that night will be James Buchanan, Andrew Johnson, Chester Arthur, Theodore Roosevelt. The non-speaking presidents, George Washington, James Madison, Martin Van Buren, Ulysses S. Grant, Benjamin Harrison, Warren Harding, and Harry Truman. Also, First Ladies Nellie Taft and Mamie Eisenhower will also speak. The Master of Ceremonies will be Colonel Edmund W. Starling, White House Secret Service agent from 1914 to 1943, and special guest speaker, Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, from 1994 through 2001. Tickets are available through today, October the 18th. So get your tickets. Well, you know, here's something interesting. This says Thursday, October the 18th. But October the 18th is actually Wednesday. So you might want to call the Historical Society today to see when the cutoff point is for tickets, but I think it's today, so let's go with that for now. And if we learn it's tomorrow, well, you're lucky you'll get your tickets tomorrow. Tickets are available at Heritage Hall, 169 East Church Street here in Marion, or by calling 740-387-4255, or by going to marionhistory.com. It's just that simple to get your tickets for this very big event, which has always done well here in the Marion area. I don't know how many years this has been going on now, but I've went to a few of these events, and they have always been a lot of fun. They're big hits. You get to sit and talk with presidents of yesteryear, and you learn a lot in that particular way. Now, I think we're going to have our guest here momentarily now. Just a matter of moments. I bet the anticipation now has built to such a fever pitch that you just can't wait to find out who this special guest is. All right, here it is. I think this is what we have been looking for here this morning. And as I said to start off the program this morning, I said we're living in a world with a lot of serious stuff going on. And sometimes we just need a little bit of a break from that. And every time I've needed a break from that, there's one person I call. Now, this is a special call to make because this person died 25 years ago, 1998. So the person we're going to speak with, you have to know this, has been dead 25 years, a quarter of a century. But this person is such a professional and was such an icon that even though they've been dead 25 years, they still come on the show from time to time, and we certainly appreciate that. Look at the length people will go to be on this show. This hour, we are joined by one of my favorite people when he was alive, and since he's gone to the great beyond 25 years ago, a man who was born in St. Louis, was the voice of the St. Louis Cardinals for so many years, but guess what? You probably remember him best for his stint in Chicago as the voice of the legendary Chicago Cubs, Mr. Baseball Broadcaster, Hall of Famer, the legendary Harry Carey. Harry, good morning.
Hello again, everybody. Good morning, Scott.
It's good. You sound a little depressed, Harry. Are you okay?
Oh, no, the Cubs aren't in the playoffs. That's why I'm depressed.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Harry. The Cubs, for a lot of years, were really not contenders, and then they became contenders, won the World Series, and are we right back where we began?
I think that we've been a complete 360. We're right back to being a non-playoff contender, a lovable loser.
What happened? Was all that money dumped in to make sure the Cubs finally won a World Series, and then when it was done, people just left town and cut the purse strings?
I believe that's right. You know, they were like the White Sox. They had a lot of good predictions, although they had a better year. But geez, holy cow, what a disappointment!
What do you think was the Cubs' main error this year? When did you realize that things were not going to turn out well?
I think when they lost a lot of games.
That's always a bad sign, Harry, when they lose those games.
Well, listen, you know, the problem with the Cubs is they just didn't have the pitching.
How important is pitching to a game? Your broadcast partner for so many years at Wrigley Field, Steve Stone, a great pitcher.
Oh, absolutely. You know, pitching is the entire game, don't you think, Scott? I mean, if you have good pitchers on the mound, it just seems like you go to the World Series a lot more often.
Well, you know what's interesting about pitching is that in your early days, calling baseball, a pitcher, unless something terrible happened, would pitch the whole game. But now, it seems to be a strategy. Who's the relief pitcher? Who's coming up? You know, very rarely does somebody do nine innings.
Well, the whole thing became specialized, didn't it?
It did.
You know, you have this guy for that and that guy for that, and you know, it'd be like if the janitor, you had different janitors, this guy only cleaned up pistachio shells, and this guy only, you know, it's everything is specialized these days.
I think you're exactly right, and but I do think that pitching, as you have said, brilliantly, is where it all is, and obviously the Cubs did not have that this year.
Well, that's right, and their manager, you know, did a good job. I like him, but, you know, he They weren't expected to do much this year, but I think they played over their heads and they did very well.
You know, Harry, has this really solidified our worst fear that really it's how much the money the team has? That's the team that's going to do the best.
Yeah, well, look at the Yankees all those years under Steinbrenner, and they had that great television contract in New York, and it allowed them to buy up the entire league. But even the Yankees ran into trouble this year. They couldn't do it. So I think a lot of times, you know, the smaller market teams get punished, like the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers aren't able to go out and do those kind of things. They're not able to spend that kind of money, so they have to be very, very good in their scouting departments, and they have to make up for it in other ways. But I think there should be an equal distribution of wealth, and I'm not a communist, but in baseball it seems to make a little more sense. You put all the money in the pool, and then you distribute it equally to all the teams. I think it would work out better.
You know, Harry, something I never understood when you were with the Cubs and even in the Jack Brickhouse era and the era that followed, when they went up on the Big Bird cable television, WGN, Cubs games at Wrigley Field would typically sell out or be pretty close to a sellout every day. So you knew they were making money, and they certainly had TV money being one of the few baseball teams that was broadcast all around the country, but yet it seemed like the Tribune, which owned them at the time, was not spending that money on the Cubs.
Yeah, they were very frugal, and they wouldn't always go out and get players. They felt that they would attract people no matter what, and they didn't have to spend the money. But look at, you know, I even had to go out and spend money for these classes of mine. So sometimes you got to spend it whether you want it or not. Heck, I could take out anthills in Cleveland with these glasses.
You know, Harry, it's interesting because there was a rumor in those days that even though the Tribune was making big money off the Chicago Cubs, the reason they didn't have a lot of money to spend on the team was your salary.
Well, you know, I don't think that's true. I think it was probably for my intake of beer for the season. That made a lot more sense. I had them write into my contract how much beer that they would pay for and other things, and they did that.
Now, Harry, right there, I think that could be more than a salary would ever dream of being. Maybe that was the problem.
That's the third. That's the, like, the you know, gross national product of a third world nation right there.
Now, Harry, how long was it into the game before you were a little, let's say, tipsy?
Well, it was about the first inning, the latter half, though. You know, maybe 1.5 outs into the first inning, I was pretty much in the bag, as they say.
Well, we all knew there was trouble, Harry, because they would always cut on television to you and Steve Stone for the pregame show, the little pregame moment, and you were already bobbing and weaving then.
Oh, yeah. And you know, when I was with the White Sox, I used to go out to center field and do the game from there. And, well, you know, I'd take off my shirt on a hot summer day and, you know, one day a big wind came up and blew all my statistics all over the place, and I had to have the fans tell me who was up, and then I had to make stuff up about the batter. It was embarrassing.
You never want a good wind to come by when you're broadcasting from the bleachers.
No, listen, that could be a real problem.
It really could.
It's now, like listening to a politician. You know, the big wind starts up and it blows it all over the place. You know, they call Chicago the Windy City. And it's not because of the wind. It was because politicians opened their mouth in town and some reporter said Chicago, that Windy City. Did you know that?
I did not know where that's where that originated.
That's absolutely true. That's why it's called the Windy City.
Now, did that start with former Mayor Richard Daley?
Oh, no, it started long, long before that. This goes back to possibly Big Bill Thompson in the 30s with Al Capone.
Really going back.
That's way back. Way back.
Back to your teenage years.
That's right. Yeah, pretty much you're right. Now, I used to hang out with Jesus. That guy knew what he was talking about, too, I'll tell you.
You got it firsthand.
That's right. Why get it secondhand? It's always better firsthand. That guy knew what he was saying.
You know, Harry Carey and Jesus hanging around. Now, that's a picture I would have loved to have seen.
Oh, yeah. Listen. He would borrow my glasses to see his father.
Well, that's awful. And you were always a giving man.
I was.
You obliged.
Listen, it helped me get into heaven, believe me.
You know, Harry, something we've never talked about, and we've spent a lot of time talking about a lot of things, but, you know, you would be talking about, during the broadcast of a game, just about everything but the game. You'd be wishing birthday wishes to people, get well. You'd be mispronounced a few, but pronouncing names backwards.
Yeah, I used to call Hector Villanueva Hector Venezuela. Steve Stone would tell me all the time, Harry, listen, it's Villanueva. And I could never do it.
Now, was that more of a shtick? Or is it really what you thought?
After three beers, it was reality.
It was reality.
But, yeah, listen, that's the way I saw it.
But no matter what was going on, all that other stuff you were talking about, kidding Steve Stone about his cigars, so on and so forth, when the pitch came, you always said, and here's the pitch.
Yeah, and here's the pitch. And then when Steve lit up that horrible thing, I'd say, and here's the cigar. My Lord, was that horrible. You know, I just couldn't sit in a room with that thing.
Is that right? You didn't like...
Oh, it smelled like burning weeds, for God's sake. I don't know what it smelled like. Jeez. Used to have such a hard time with that. I'd tell him, go in the other booth if you want to, go in the visitor's booth if you want to smoke that.
You know, and interestingly enough, coming up in November here in Ohio, burning weeds will be on the ballot, recreational marijuana.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another kind of burning weed, I guess.
Yeah, it made the ballot, though. Who would have thought?
Oh, listen, I had a hard enough time with his cigars. Thank God it wasn't the other thing.
You know, can you imagine if the other thing would have gotten mixed with your inebriation in the first inning?
I don't even know. I would have probably started broadcasting hockey.
Whole another thing. Whole another place.
You know, hockey moved too fast. I could never get into it. And plus, my glasses would melt the ice if the sun shot through there. You know, they do those outdoor games now. That wouldn't be good. I mean, it would shoot through my glasses and melt the ice.
Harry, where did you get those glasses? You did not get those until after you came back from the stroke in 87.
That's right, but you know the people that build submarines and telescopes?
Yes.
Yeah, they built my glasses. The same people that built Mount Palomar.
Really?
Yeah, listen. I could see the rings of Saturn very clearly.
So you just call them up and you say, listen, I need a new pair of spectacles.
Well,
How long does it take to get those?
It takes about 2 years to make them.
Oh.
So I have to sense when my eyes are going to get even worse.
How bad are the eyes?
Well, they're pretty bad. You know, one time I set an eye chart on fire.
Did you?
Yeah. They asked me to read it, that burst into flames.
Do you think go ahead, Harry.
Well, they said, you got to take your glasses off, Harry. I said, I can't even see the wall that thing's attached to.
Do you think the fact that fire has followed you around for many years, Harry, has anything to do with the fact that you were friends with Jesus when you were younger?
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I wanted to stay away from fire, but my glasses kept igniting things.
It was very embarrassing. Heavy duty. Who's going to be in the series this year, the Fall Classic, Harry? Who's going to win? Who's going to be in it? Who's going
to
take it?
I have to say it's going to be Philadelphia against the Texas Rangers, and the Rangers are the surprise team. And Philly is just, Schwarber is just unbelievable. The guy comes up and just smacks home runs all over the place. And, you know, he was an ex-Cub. They should have kept him.
Now, Harry, does anybody, though, really want to see that game? Is that game going to ignite the Midwest television ratings and things of that nature?
No, you know, I think the Midwest is tired of the Yankees and everybody else. They want to see their teams in it. You know, I would like to have seen, if the Cubs didn't make it, I'd like to see the Cincinnati Reds. I wish the Brewers had gone a little farther. And the White Sox were the biggest disappointment because everybody thought that they would be the team to make the playoffs, and they lost over 100 games. It was embarrassing. They just collapsed.
Now, who's going to win this series, Harry? Who's going to be the champions?
Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know, but I between the two of them, I mean, I'd bet a six-pack of Budweiser. I think the Phillies might be the team because of their offense. I just like them, but we'll have to wait and see. Texas might be the big surprise.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Harry, but the World Series is the Fall Classic, and didn't it used to come before November?
Yeah, it did. Remember when it was over in October?
Yeah. Well, what happened?
Doesn't it go into like February now?
No, right before spring training, it wraps up.
Yeah, you really hope that teams in warm climates win the thing, because otherwise there's going to be 6 feet of snow on the ground. Holy cow, that it gets cold.
You know, baseball has gotten so complicated. Bob Costas, your friend, and Bob Costas, who's been on this show, has talked about this. Wild cards and extending the season and all of this stuff that goes in that makes the game so much more complicated.
Yeah, it's gotten too long. Cut it down. They keep lengthening it. Why don't you just start a second season and let every team play? That way, when Santa Claus comes, he can throw out the first pitch.
You know, but baseball at Christmas would be a whole different thing.
Wouldn't it?
I think it'd be entertaining.
You know, it would be, but then it would never end. So the pitchers would throw their arms out, and I think that's what's happening now, which is why you have to have so many specialists. The season's so long, they're going to rip their arms off, and then they're going to have Tommy John surgery.
Well, yeah, it's trouble all the way around.
You know, it must be cool to have something, a medical procedure, named after you. I'd like to have, like, a alcoholism named after me. They could say, God, the guy's a carry. He needs help.
Well, if anything was going to be named after you, Harry, I'm sure that's what it would have been.
I the guy's liver shot, he's a carry.
Well, Harry, speaking of those picadillos in your life, the drinking and the things, Mayor of Rush Street, it's kind of interesting because down here on planet Earth, Britney Spears has written a tell-all book that's coming out next month. It's getting a lot of press. Jada Pinkett Smith has written a tell-all book. It's getting a lot of press. You wrote a couple books, but they weren't really tell-alls.
No.
No.
They were not tell anything.
That's right. They were just, this is how I got to the ballpark today.
Well, you know, I came from a different generation. We didn't talk about that kind of stuff then. You know, if you had a medical procedure, you kept it to yourself. You didn't put it on TV. And if you had a divorce or whatever you did, you kept it quiet. Our generation did not talk about stuff like this generation does. And so we kept everything hidden. And if somebody, you know, said something about us, we denied it. And the press generally helped us out. Look at Babe Ruth. You know, if people had known half the stuff going on with Babe Ruth, with the booze and the women and his appetite for hot dogs, people would have been shocked. But you know what? The press kept it inside those days. They didn't tell everything, and they didn't have a hungry media going after them. It was ridiculous the way things are now.
Yeah, but you know, if you were here today, Harry, and wrote a book, it'd have to be a tell-all.
Oh, it would probably have to be that to sell, yeah. And people are more interested in that stuff than they would have been in my baseball career, and that's why I didn't share anything. It's private business. People need to have their own private dignity without having their entire lives ripped open just because they're a celebrity.
Well, and I hate to bring this up on that note, Harry, but there was a little bit of scandal in your life that when you left St. Louis, you were fired from the team you broadcast for many years. It was your hometown team. And the rumor was that you had an affair with wife of a high up executive at Anheuser-Busch?
They said it was the wife of Augie Bush. Listen, I didn't have time for that. I was too busy with baseball and Budweiser. I didn't have time for that, but they always accused me of it. For crying out loud, if I had been guilty of that, I would have probably been fired a lot sooner.
But, you know, interestingly enough, this is dating back to the 60s. There, even in those days, there was a rumor mill.
Well, that's right. There was. And you had people, you know, who were Hedda Hooper and other people who thrived on gossip, things like that. But I didn't do that. I stayed away from all that. And I didn't want to get involved in any of that messy stuff.
Hedda Hooper, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wasn't it Hedda Hopper?
Oh, yeah, that's the way I saw it again. I mispronounced
yeah,
it.
Imagine that. You
yeah, Hedda Hopper.
Hedda Hopper, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's the way. Boy, thank God her name wasn't on the back of a Cub uniform.
Legendary gossip columnist.
That's right.
Now, Harry, coming up this Saturday, I did not know this until recently, but we have Sweetest Day. And
yeah.
Sweetest Day, Rich, I can tell you're excited about it.
Well, you know, that's another one of those days, I'm telling you, Scott, that they invented just to sell cards.
Well, interestingly enough, we went through this yesterday on the show. It was invented in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, was it really?
It was.
Oh, so I spent all that money all those years because of a guy in Cleveland.
Well, and
he owes me.
Well, he might. And interestingly enough, it was originally called Candy Day. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then everybody got diabetes.
That's right. And it was all downhill.
On that day.
Then we had to turn it into romance because
yeah.
Everybody was getting diabetes.
That's right. It got so sweet. That you got romance and diabetes in the same day.
I don't know
how that happens.
It was rough until it turned into romance.
That's right.
Now, Harry,
yeah.
Were you a romantic guy?
Well, yeah, my wife, Dutchie, always said I was. You know, that's another part of the thing you kind of keep quiet. I was a soft-hearted guy. I always bought her flowers. And, you know, I didn't really talk about it that much. I just went out and she bought me Budweiser and I bought her flowers and it all worked out.
If that doesn't say love, I don't know what does.
I know. It was love at the bottom of a glass. It's awesome.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Harry, we just passed Friday the 13th, which would have been, last Friday. And that's a day of superstition. Have you ever had many superstitions?
Well, yeah, listen, when they put the goat on the field at Wrigley Field, I mean, that was a superstition, but kind of turned out to be true. They should have never done that. Remember when they let the, well, you weren't alive, I was, when they let the goat out onto the field and the guy wished the Cubs 100 bad years or something like, it happened.
Yeah, the curse of the goat?
The curse of the goat.
You know, they weren't very creative in naming that.
No.
No.
Now, they could have done a little bit better, but geez, that thing actually had some legs, you know, and I, as you notice, they don't let goats around Wrigley Field anymore.
Now, Harry, how would you have called the goat running onto the field had you been there?
Well, I would have said, holy cow, what's going on out there? There's a four-legged beast running around. Hey, that could give you bad luck.
Well,
I have no idea how much bad luck it could give you.
But you think you could have pronounced goat okay?
I think probably goat was easy.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, like I said, if I were in the National Hockey League, some of those foreign names, they would have twisted my tongue could have had a blowout.
Well, we wouldn't have wanted that, Harry.
No.
No.
Wow, and the game moves too fast. I'd have to have Stoney pick up the entire thing. I'd be just sitting there drinking, watching it, and then Steve could have broadcast it.
You know, Harry, celebrities flock to you in a way. Bob Costas was up in the booth with you. Hillary Clinton, when she was first lady, was there. Ronald Reagan, when he was president of the United States. Michael Jordan, when he got into baseball, you interviewed him down on the field. People just loved to be around you. Why was that?
Well, you know, I think when I was on Earth, I was a fun guy to be around. A lot of these announcers, they're kind of boring. In the old days, you had guys like Jack Brickhouse and I and Ernie Harwell, and you had Jack Buck. And these guys were old-time beer-chugging guys who said it the way it is. They're not like the cookie-cutter guys on TV today that just have to answer to the corporation. I got into a lot of trouble with the White Sox because they went on a losing streak. And you know what, Scott? I said it the way it was, and I didn't have to take any of that corporate mumbo-jumbo. I just went up in the booth, and I described it the way it was. Bill Melton dropped a pop-up with the White Sox, and I went crazy. I went absolutely crazy, and it probably got me into a little trouble, but I said how bad the White Sox were at that time, and they were. They were stinky socks. They were horrible.
And I
just said it the way it was, and guys like me and Jimmy Pearsall, we didn't beat around the bush. We said it the way it was.
Now, did you ever get any feedback from upper management?
Oh, yeah. Listen, you know, they would come by and say, Harry, you know, don't be so hard on the team. But I said, if you put a better team out there, I won't have to be hard on them. Just for crying out loud, fix this messy situation and win some games.
You, above all else, were a fan.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, Scott. I love the game. It wasn't just a job sitting in the broadcast booth. It was being a real fan, and that's what the fans identified with. I was one of them. I wasn't some elitist announcer. I became one of them. That's why I sat with them in the outfield. That's why I broadcast the games with them. That's why I had the butterfly net when I went over to Sox Park and I would catch fly balls. I was one of them. I was an entertainer, but I was one of them.
You know, Harry, again, I was thinking this morning, recently, long-running television series Frasier did a reboot, and now Frasier's back doing television again and having fun, I guess. This is kind of a reboot this morning. Harry Carey back on the radio.
Well, that's right. You know, we not only, I mean, you talk about a long-distance call.
The bill.
I don't want to be getting your bill at the end of the month.
Oh, the bill on this one is unbelievable.
Oh yeah. AT&T can't help you.
No. The phone shakes a little bit when I make this call.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Boy, that it's expensive.
Now, Harry, does it seem like you've been gone 25 years?
No, it seems like I was just gone yesterday. You know, Scott, I'll tell you, even when I was on Earth, time flew, but it still flies in heaven. I can't believe I've been gone for 25 years. Wow, thank God the beer's cold up here. Otherwise, that would have been a real mess.
But up there, there's really no end to time, right?
Oh, that's right. It's like living in a black hole. Time just changes, and believe me, watching the Cubs all those years, I was living in a black hole.
Well, that's true. How do you stay excited when calling games day in, day out, for a team that just isn't doing much?
Well, I'll tell you, when they got a hit, you really were shocked. It was something, you know. We had a pretty good team, like in 84 and 69, And we, I don't know what happened in 69. We're still scratching our heads on that one. I don't know how the Mets got by our team. We had such great hitters. But, you know, that was kind of a collapse. I don't know. I mean, you just have to kind of be excited because on any given day it's baseball and you can win. And you never know when it's going to happen. And sometimes the weakest teams do a David and Goliath and they take out the great team. And so it's all baseball's always exciting. You just never know what's going to happen. Look at all of the different things that happened in the World Series. So many times the weaker team won, and oh my goodness, that's what I love about the game. It's always exciting.
Now, Harry, coming up here in just a few short days, we're going to have Halloween. What do you make of Halloween?
Well, you know, I never dressed up in a costume. Heck, I just grabbed a beer and went as Harry Carey. You know, I didn't go door to door. I should have. Maybe I could have made quite a haul.
Well, that's right, because the Harry Carey costumes are still popular.
Well, yeah, they should be. You know, it's funny, but then they don't drop candy into the bag. They drop a Budweiser in there.
Well,
it gets heavy.
Well, which for some people is really what they're out there for.
Well, that's right. And but I'll tell you, I had to keep going back to the car and unloading the Budweisers. Then I'd have to drive home, put them in the refrigerator, and go back out again.
Harry, we've got about 8 minutes left here, and people love your calls. Give us your famous home run call.
All right. Here's Ernie Banks. Well, no, it would have been Ryne Sandberg. I wasn't there for Ernie. But all right, Ryne Sandberg coming to the plate. Rhino's checking out the pitcher. Here's the pitch. Holy cow, there's a long drive to center. It could be. It is. A home run for Rhino Sandberg. Holy cow, he's broken the game wide open. The Cubs are winning. Holy cow.
Now, Harry, it's so interesting because most broadcasters, I guess if you went to a broadcasting school, would say, let the play finish before you call it. You're right there.
I was right there. I could tell by the trajectory if it was going out or not. And I could have never said that word when I was on Earth.
I when you said it, I wasn't going to mess with it because I thought if he can get it out once, I'm not going to go for it again.
Oh, that's right. Now I can say things like geosynchronous orbit.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, Harry.
Well, thank you. Yeah, listen, I could have never gotten that one out after a couple of Budweisers.
The things heaven will do for you.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. I can, you know, who wrote that song, I Can See for Miles and Miles?
Yes.
With these glasses, I could.
You could. You could see what was going on at Comiskey Park from Wrigley Field.
Oh, heck yeah. That was 8 miles away. Yeah, I could watch both games at once. One in one lens and one in the other. It was like picture in a picture on TV.
What was it like all those years broadcasting with Steve Stone?
Oh, Stoney is one of the most knowledgeable. You know, he's over with the White Sox now, and he is one of the most knowledgeable baseball people on earth. I actually thought he was going to be the general manager for the Baltimore Orioles for a while. And, boy, that guy has knowledge that goes layers deep. He's like an Ernie Harwell or, like I said, a Jack Buck. That guy Hamilton in Cleveland, these guys know their game. They're really good at it.
Now, your relationship with Jack Buck in St. Louis, which I believe was the longest of your career, always seemed like there was you liked each other. But it seemed like there was a little bit of, tension in that booth?
Well, yeah, sometimes when you work with somebody all those years, you know, little things developed, but it never got insurmountable with us. We had a little bit of tension, but, you know, then I'd have a couple of beers and it would go away.
It wasn't Milo Hamilton tension.
No. Oh, that was a mess.
Well, you know, I interviewed Milo Hamilton before he went on to his reward.
Yeah.
And there's a chapter in his book. And I don't want to misquote it. I don't want to paraphrase. Well, I'm going to paraphrase it. It was basically, you know, why I hate Harry Carey. I mean, it was a little rough.
You know, he thought he had a job and he didn't. And maybe he was looking too far ahead. But, you know, Milo was just a very good announcer, but he got real, you know, did better. And in my life, there was no place for that. It was more of a fun life. I just had such a wonderful time on earth. All the relationships that you have are important ones, and you shouldn't burn bridges.
You know, and it was very strange because your signature call, of course, Harry Carey, his, Holy Toledo.
That's right. We just had different holies.
That's right. Maybe that was the problem.
Mine had four legs. His was a city.
Maybe that was the whole problem.
It could have been.
You never know.
No, you never do. I mean, you could put a holy on anything, and then,
Has anybody ever used Holy Moly?
No, I don't think so. Maybe some new guy will come up with that one.
So it's up for grabs. Holy Moly
is...
It's
up for grabs. Heck yeah, you can throw a holy on anything. Holy mackerel.
Holy mackerel, yeah. No.
If you're on a fishing show.
Boy, I'll tell you, this is like a broadcaster's clinic this morning.
That's right.
Yeah, we're helping him out.
Well, you got to have a tag.
And your tag.
I didn't want mine to be Holy Budweiser.
No.
So I said Holy Cow.
Oh, no. What was it out in California, though? They wanted you to change it, didn't they?
Yeah, they wanted me to say Holy Karma, but I didn't want to do that.
Harry, speaking of signatures, we do it every time you're on. We've got about 3 minutes left. The people love it at home. I think they sing along with you. It's our favorite thing. Seventh inning stretch. Here we are. Take it away, Harry.
All right, everybody. Let me hear ya. A one. A two. A three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back, for it's root, root, root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out of the old ball game. Let's get some runs.
Harry, you are, I am forever in your debt for coming on all these years, and I hope you continue to come on because it's just a general pleasure for me and the audience.
Well, listen, Scott, any time, and I would say this to the audience, I'm up in heaven. I hope you all have a wonderful holiday season, because it's kind of coming around that way. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, a wonderful Christmas, and a very happy New Year from Harry Carey in heaven. Scott, it's always a pleasure to be on with you. You're a fine young man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Harry. And with 30 seconds left to go, we have to say, of course, Harry Carey passed away 25 years ago, but portraying him on this show for nearly 10 years now, the great Ken Cervera. Ken, thank you so much.
Hey, Scott, you are a blast to hang out with, and I sure appreciate you having me on. And hello to everybody in your audience, and I hope everybody is safe, secure, and happy.
Happy holidays, Ken. Thanks again.
Thank you, Scott.
Bye-bye.
All right, we had some fun this morning, and we're going to come back with some more fun. Hey, can it get any better than that? How can you follow that act? Harry Carey from heaven. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
You're listening to The Play